Lord, the move is on. I can hear the rustle in the mulberry trees, but I know the move is on.
The move is on, my Lord.
Seated tonight, and I don't want to get too much preaching, just maybe be 10 minutes and we'll pray and go. And but just to bring you something to encourage you and instructions from the Word of God, let's turn to James chapter 4 and let's read from verse 5 to verse 12 of James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 5 through to 12. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brother. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? Let us just bow again for a word of prayer. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight that we have this great privilege as your children, that we can come from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Father, we come tonight and we say with the hymn writer of old, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Lord, we thank you for Calvary tonight. We thank you for God's lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the finished work of the Lamb of God. Lord, we thank you for the power of your blood. We ask that you'll wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Lord, we do say amen to all that's already been prayed tonight. Indeed, that thou would have thy way and touch your brother Keith from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, make him whole and make him well in Jesus' precious name. For others troubled tonight, may you touch them and may you bless them. And Lord, for everyone that's been mentioned, touch and heal and bless in Jesus Christ's name. Now, Lord, instruct us this evening from your precious word. Lord, bless those that's here and those that maybe couldn't come with the conditions tonight, bless them. And for those that perhaps had to work, bless them. But Lord, just have your way amongst us. And preserve us, we pray, and keep us as the apple of thy eye. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I just want to take a little saying from these scriptures tonight, and that is, resist the devil. And to resist the devil, the Lord's already given us the secret, and that is to submit before God. When we submit ourselves before God, we will be able to resist the devil. Many people pray, Lord, help me to resist the devil. Many people pray, Lord, humble me to resist the devil. And that's all right, we can pray like that. But the Bible tells us to humble ourselves. The Bible tells us here, submit yourself to God. Humble yourselves. Verse 10. In the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Praise God. And when we humble ourselves to God, not to man, but to God, we humble ourselves before God, then we'll be able to resist the devil. Because when we humble ourselves before God, we will walk in accordance with God's will. Because the Bible says the sons of God are led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe this is the foundation stone of resisting the devil, is to humble ourselves to God. When we humble ourselves to God, we have a foundation how we can overcome the devil. That is by humbling ourselves before God. We cannot overcome our enemy if we are not submitted to God. If our lives are not submitted to God, if we want to do our own thing, go our own way, we're not submitted to God. But when we are submitted to God, we will humble ourselves before God, and then when we submit ourselves to God, God gives us the power to overcome the devil. I was very near going to preach last week on the key steps for real Christians. What should we be like? How should we be? We should be men and women that want to read the Bible, that want to pray, that want to attend service, because the Word of God says gather often as you see the day approaching. I believe many of us do them things. Well, there's many people today, and they say they're believers, they say they're walking with the Lord, but they haven't much interest in coming to the house of God. They hardly ever read their Bible, they hardly ever spend time praying. Then when they do pray, they say, Lord, help me to resist the devil. It won't work. If we submit ourselves to God, we will want to read, we'll want to pray, we'll want to come to the house of God. We will give our time to God, then the Lord will help us to overcome the devil. Because His Word tells us He will. Amen. So the key to overcoming the devil, the key to resisting the devil, is submitting to God. And when you submit to God, you're on your way to resist the devil. Amen. Because when you submit to God, you're close to God. You're close to the things of God. And then it's easier to resist the devil. The Bible tells us that God resists to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And grace is unmerited favor. Grace is something the Lord gives us freely. We don't pay for it or beg for it. The Lord in His grace gives us it. Drawn out of God and He's drawn out of you. So when we humble ourselves and submit ourselves to God, and when we draw to God in prayer, the Word of God tells us He's come near to us. And you should like the Lord near, draw near to Him. If you draw to the Lord, He'll draw to you. That's why I believe it's important that we pray, because when we pray, we're drawing near to God. This is the promise of God. When Jesus Christ was here on earth, He was fully and completely submitted to the Father. Jesus wasn't submitted to the Father sometimes, but He was always submitted to God, to the Father. He humbled Himself. You know, I was reading a little bit this evening on the three times He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed three times. And each time they fell asleep on Him. And He says, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? And in one place He says, sleep on that. In another place He says, let us rise, for him that betrayeth me is here. But He prayed three times and He says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will be done but thine. The thing that is most remarkable to me is when Jesus submitted completely to God and to the leading of the Spirit of God, and how many knows Jesus was led by the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
And it led him in the wilderness. Who would ever think what would lead him into the wilderness? Many times when we have trials and tribulations, you know, we reason here, we reason there, but everything's for a purpose. And we should just submit to God. Sometimes God permits things to happen to see how we respond. And you know, one time this man told Brother Branham this story, and it was that this servant of God, and terrible things happened, and he lost members of his family, and he went through a hardship, and this man said to him, "Will that not turn you away from God and make you disbelieve God with all this trouble?" And the man said, "No, it turns me to God. The Lord is my help during these times." Amen. It turns me more to God. It doesn't turn me away from God. But you see, the enemy, I told you on Sunday, he's a preacher. The devil's a preacher, and he's a good one. And he preaches till God's people, all this came about, why do you still trust God? Didn't he do it with Job? Job's own wife said to Job, "Curse God and die." You know, all this trouble's come, curse God and die. And he said, you're speaking like a foolish woman. Amen. And the Bible says that Job sent not throughout it. So if somebody's gone through a hard time or a difficult time and times of trial and tribulation, it's not because they've done something wrong. Job didn't do anything wrong to have all that trouble. As a matter of fact, he'd done something right. But God was showing the enemy that he had somebody that would resist the devil and submit himself to God. And we know Job was a type of Jesus Christ. And he was that perfect one submitted. But we saw Christ in Job in that sense. When you see Job doing that, you see Christ in Job. And Job submitted himself fully to God. And he was almost dead, he was in a terrible shape, but he submitted himself to God. Look at Jesus in John 3, verse 13 to 17. And this is a very well-known scripture. "No man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Ain't that some scripture?
Yes.
Praise God. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." So Jesus was prophesying off Calvary. He was foretelling the Son of Man will have to be lifted up. And yet he came from heaven. Amen. Because he was submitted fully to God. Verse 15. "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And we know these scriptures, but they're wonderful. "For God so loved the world." I was thinking of this today, and many people condemn Roman Catholics because the Roman Catholic Church. God loves a Roman Catholic as much as a Protestant or a Hindu or whatever religion. The names mean absolutely nothing to God. The systems God is against, no matter what that system may be, but God loves the people. God loves the people because the Bible says God so loved the world. And God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we know, and I mentioned it a wee bit on Sunday, we know that it's election, that God chooses before the foundation of the world, but we must preach it to all.
Yes.
That's our job.
Amen.
It's not our job to choose. That's God's part. We must present it to all and believe God to save anybody. Because the Bible says, "Whosoever believeth shall be saved." The other part, people, they almost think they are God. That because of certain persons here or there or yonder, but look, you can really see the grace of God in Martin Luther. He was a Catholic. But he was one God saved. Amen. You can see the grace of God in so many people. You know, there's many a religious man on the other side of things that went to church, but they weren't born again. You hear Big Ian Paisley telling about going to see the woman. She's a Presbyterian. And she gave off to him when he started to witness to her. But the Lord broke her and she eventually got saved. And she was going to chase him at the start. If you've ever heard the story about it, she had all the religious trimmings, but she never had Christ. And you can have all the religious trimmings, but not know Jesus Christ. But it's knowing Jesus Christ that counts. For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus Christ is fully submitted to God. And he's the one we're following. We're not called to follow any other man. When Paul said, "Follow me, for I follow Christ," that wasn't so that we would magnify Paul, but Paul was saying that so that we would follow Christ. Because he followed Christ. Because you know Paul rebuked him when they baptized in other people's names. He said, "I'm glad I baptized none of you." He rebuked him. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." God wants us to humble ourselves. You know, there's a powerful statement William Branham made one time. He said, "God can use a man in a gift and never again, once and never again." People think God has to do it with them, I don't know many times, but you look at Jack Coe died when he was 38. The original Jack Coe. Not Jack Coe Jr., but Jack Coe. 38 years of age. They say he was burnt out. They say he did more than 38 years, most three or four men in a lifetime. Another man burned himself out, or two men, was the Jeffrey brothers. They say them Jeffrey brothers burned themselves out, preaching and serving God so much, they burned themselves out. Several men couldn't have did what they did in a lifetime. They burned themselves out. But they used to say, "I'd rather burn out and rust out." Amen. And I'll tell you, we don't know what God will do, but Jack Coe said, "You can't get this." And he's talking about what they were saying, what God was doing. And then you get real low. Humble yourself. And when we humble ourselves, the Bible tells us, under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us. You see, God's hand's mightier than the devil's. So if we want to resist the devil, we need to humble ourselves before God. Jesus is fully committed to the Father's will. And I already mentioned it, it's Luke 4, verse 1 to 4, where the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. Now imagine the Holy Spirit leading him into temptation. Now it's not really like that. It might sound like that, but that's not really right the way I'm saying it. That's why I've said it. I want you to catch this. The Holy Spirit never led him. Let's read it. I get this clear what I'm trying to say. Verse 1 of Luke 4. "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when the days were ended, he afterward hungered." So the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. God knew he was going to be tempted, but God let it happen so that we tonight can look back at it and see what Jesus did about it. He's our example. And even though he was led into the wilderness, and even though the devil tempted him, he still overcame. Verse 3. "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God," he questioned, "if thou be." Now he was. "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." And verse 4, "And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So the Lord is showing us, God is showing us through Jesus how to do it. By submitting ourselves to the word of God. need the Word of God. Amen. That's why I know most of us do it, but I'm saying it again, but it's true. When we're praying, it's good to mention to God, Lord, your word says. Amen? Lord, your word says. The devil did it for wrong, but we can do it for the word. Lord, your word says, by your stripes I'm healed. Remember God of his word. Not that God needs reminding, but we're to speak the word. The word overcomes the enemy. Amen. If me and you submit completely to God and allow the Spirit of God to lead us, and if we take this in its proper context, we'll be led into all truth. If we completely submit to God and we allow the Holy Spirit to completely lead us. Now, we're not always fully submitted to God. None of us are. I know that. But we want to try and be. We want to try and be in that place where we are fully submitted to God. And I know there's times we can walk in it more than others, but all them men that you read about that God might be used in the times they might be used, that's when they were submitted to God. Wigglesworth talked about walking in the Spirit. Wigglesworth talked about walking in the anointing because he was submitted to God. William Branham talked about walking in that divine presence, that super anointing of God. He called it a super anointing, greater than a normal anointing, a real super anointing of God. That where you could pray, thousands would be healed in one service. That's what God's able to do. Because he said in John 14:12, greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Because the Holy Spirit was sent to continue the work. And the works continued in a many-membered body, and through a fivefold ministry and nine gifts of the Spirit, the works continue. If we completely submit to God, John 14, verse 16, and here's what it says. In verse 17, John 14, verse 16, 17. And I will pray the Father. This is Jesus talking. The Lord Jesus. And he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. So how long does the Holy Spirit stay with you? Forever. Amen. That's why the New Testament warns us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't ever want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's to be with us forever. Even the Spirit of truth. Whom the world cannot receive. So people talk about people that's not born again receiving the Holy Spirit. But this scripture says they can. How many they can receive an anointing? How many knows that the Spirit can come down and anoint somebody? But it doesn't mean that they're born in Spirit. How many can understand that? And see, it's like the rain falls on the just and the unjust. When the wheat rises and praises God, and the weeds rise as well, same son, and so forth. The Bible says that. But look what it says here. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knows him, knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. So the Holy Spirit is not just to come on us, but it's to be in us. You can have the Holy Spirit on you. People sometimes can get an anointing that comes upon them, and they think that's it, that's just the start of it. Just continue on, it comes right on in through, and fills you from the inside out. And that's scripture, because the Bible says it shall be in you a well of living water springing up within you. So not just coming on you. Remember I showed you scriptures before, in you and on you and over you. That's the way we want the Spirit in us, on us and all over us. And to be baptized in the Spirit means to be totally submerged, completely covered. Same as baptism in water. But also it means, when you look at baptism in water, it speaks of a death. And that's something as well we maybe don't mention enough, but to be totally submerged, completely die in ourselves, and let the Holy Spirit completely take us over. That's part of it as well. So the Holy Spirit in us, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Amen. We know the truth makes us free, because as John 8 verse 32 tells us, notice it says the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. Now we're living in evil times. How many, I'm sure some of you maybe have noticed already or heard, but there's been a, somebody was arrested, they had a Muslim and a preacher on one of them sites up, and they're both preaching, and they let the Muslim go, and they arrested the Christian preacher. And in Scotland recently, another fellow out preaching in the street with Bible, they handcuffed him and took him away. In Scotland, it's now illegal to preach the gospel in the streets of Scotland. Did you know here you have to give notice? You can't go on the streets here. They can, you didn't know that. That's been out for a long time. People think I'll go in the corner and preach. You can. You probably get away with it. We know that. But you're meant to let the police know so many hours in advance if you're going to do street open-air evangelism here now. That's been out for a long time. I never did let them know about it. I just went ahead and preached anyhow. Amen. But it'll come a time you'll be arrested. It's happening already in Scotland, it's just over the water. And they're arresting people for preaching on the streets. That's the days we're living in. We're living in evil days. These are days where we need to be fully submitted to God. And you know the Holy Spirit's smart, isn't it? You know what I mean by that? The Holy Spirit can lead you individually to somebody that he's working on, and God could use you to speak the word to them and they could get saved and nobody would know anything about it. How many knows that? Wouldn't necessarily have to be some big show where you're out shouting and making a lot of noise. Do you know what I'm saying? It could be quietly done. Amen. Because him that's born in spirits like the wind. He cannot tell whether he cometh or whether he goeth. And the Holy Spirit is a gentle spirit. He's like the dove. And God could lead you. I know, I saw it happening. I'm sure some of you saw it happening. God could lead you just quietly to talk to somebody. Nobody knows anything. You know, I travel with missionaries through America. And I saw people saved. And they sat outside in a van getting fuel. And they never knew anything about it. And they were the missionaries. And I was the boy going to learn. And I saw people see him on a lot of occasions. One woman in a filling station. They were filling the fuel. I went into the station. I wanted to buy a pair of sunglasses. It was driving down through the Rocky Mountains. I'm not sure exactly where, but somewhere down through the Rockies. I remember we went down through there. We had like a bus. One of them big American buses that you travel in. And I went in there and someone just said to me, I want you to talk to this woman. So I'm now having a conversation in my own thinking, back and forward. But how am I going to do it, Lord? I'm too nervous and everything. And it's just in my early 20s. And they won't understand what I'm saying with the accent we have from here. Nobody knows what you're talking about. And it just came on me really strong. And by the time I got to the till to pay for the sunglasses or whatever it got, the shop was empty. And as soon as the woman heard my accent, she pricked up. And, oh, what have you come to America? I told her I've come as an evangelist to preach. And she just broke down and started crying. And God had already been working upon her. And her daughter was dying in a hospital not far away. And I told her, did she know Jesus as her Savior? And she said, no. And I said, would you like to? And she said, yes. I've been seeking for it, didn't know how to go about it. And she prayed the sinner's prayer right there at the desk and got saved. And we prayed for her daughter as well, right at the desk. Another occasion was where a young man hitchhiked from a college with a woman, an American preaching woman. And America's full of women that preach. And I'm not going to say here, there, or nothing about it, but there's good women preachers, you know, but still doesn't make it right, but I'm not going to condemn them in the sense they might be seeing people saved. But she was a woman preacher anyhow. Her daughter was with her, and some young fellow in the college hitched a ride up to Reno, Nevada. And they never told him about the Lord once. Not once. And he was traveling with them for days to get up there. But he just stayed up there for one night, and I witnessed to him, and he got saved. And he really could see if God really moved on him. And that woman came to me weeping. And she said, you know, I never witnessed to him once, and I meant to be a preacher and all this and that and everything. And people was getting saved, and I saw a lot of people saved in America. God saved people. Nobody knew anything about it. The Holy Spirit can lead you. I know you can go on the streets, but I don't believe you should deliberately do it just to get arrested as a show-off. I don't believe in that. If God led us to go out, and it happens, it'll not matter, get jail, what about it? If God leads you to do it, but it has to be the Holy Spirit that leads us. Amen. But God's many ways of doing things. The Holy Spirit is that we need to submit to God. Amen. In John 14, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. This is what he promises. He's come to us, the Holy Spirit. Many other translations say, I will not leave you as orphans. In other words, I'll be your father. That's what he's saying. I won't leave you like an orphan, fatherless, but I will be your father. I will come to you. And you know a child, most of you that have children, you know, if you're a wee boy or girl, they like getting cuddled, don't they? Now, our youngest boy, for some reason, he loves getting cuddled all the time. I don't know why. He's worse than any rest of them. He'd come up to you and need a hug, Dad. Need a hug, Mom. Now, they say girls, boys need more attention than girls. That's what they say. I'd say, with our experience, with our wants, I'd say that's about right, but this is a wonderful scripture. You think of this, God will comfort us. You know, he put your arms around you spiritually, and the Bible calls him El Shaddai, it means a strong-breasted one. He'd bring you into his bosom and comfort you. Just like you would comfort a child, God will comfort us. He won't leave us orphans. Amen. Some people pray, Lord, humble me, but look, I've already mentioned it. I wouldn't suggest pray that. I know a man well. And I was in the meeting the night he prayed it, and he prayed earnestly, Lord, strip me of everything. And God did. God did strip him. His brother stole thousands, and was left on them. They stole it on them. They weren't right to do it, but they stole it on him. His house began to crumble. The brick it was built with was faulty. In the car business, it went. Everything went. But he prayed, Lord, strip me. So I'm not going to be praying, Lord, strip me. I want to pray, Lord, fill me. Amen. So be careful if you're going to pray, Lord, strip me. Nebuchadnezzar, God humbled him. In Daniel chapter 4, and I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but Daniel chapter 4, verse 30 to 34, God made him like an animal to eat grass. God humbled him. I'll read you the last verse of it, verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. We must submit to God, then we can resist the devil. Before you fight the enemy, you must submit to God. So what's our key to resist the devil? Submit to God. It's simple, but it's true. You know, Bob, that preached in the Eagle, said a powerful thing. He said, a lot of people say it's hard to be a Christian. He says, you're a liar. It's hard not to be a Christian. Because the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. It's hard when we're not submitting to God. That's why it's hard. But when we fully submit to God, it's not hard. Because the Holy Spirit will lead us. And even if the Holy Spirit leads us and there can be trouble along the way, it doesn't matter. When we think of the great man that was martyred, how terrible it was, but yet God put a special anointing on them to suffer it. Do you understand what I'm saying? We could, you go out tonight, you know, it would be terrible, but God anoints for the occasion, especially that they could do it. And the Holy Spirit leads you into all truth. Let's come and seek God tonight. Praise God.